Hey friends, welcome back to Heretical Hippies, where Anna and Carrie Jo wander back into the wreckage of their deconstruction to see if they can offer hope to anyone else who might be climbing out of the dust and ashes of their faith. Buckle up, it's about to get real.
Hey y'all. Welcome to another conversation, real and raw conversation with Carrie Jo and Anna. And today we are going to, first of all, I'm going to slow down and say hello to Carrie Jo.
Hey, what's up? Happy to be here.
Yay. We're going to just talk again today. Carrie Jo and I are just enjoying processing our journey together, and today we are going to talk about the aspects of Christianity that we held on to. I mean, obviously there's so many different types or versions of Christianity out there, denominations and non-denominations, but what aspects of our own personal Christian walk that that Carrie Jo and I have decided to hold on to is the subject for today. So actually, Carrie, I'd like you to answer that first.
Oh, sure. You know, when you initially brought up this as a topic, my initial like knee jerk thought was, I think I've chucked it all. Yeah. But that's not true, because I took some time to think about it and reflect more. And there are certainly like major aspects of Christianity that I've held on to. And, I think the overarching one that is kind of, I mean, for lack of a better term, like my North Star, my thing that kind of keeps me on track, is this concept of love, unconditional love. Now, the way I understood God's love in my evangelical days, I would not say God's love was taught to me as unconditional. It was very conditional, but you know, like if we want to even refer to scripture where it says God is love, I 100% agree with that. That all day long could be what fuels me and informs how I engage with people. So I would say the loving nature of God and whatever people's experiences of her, of him, of the non-gendered God that exists, it's love. I mean, that is the ultimate, to me, experience of God. So love, for sure, is the overarching kind of umbrella understanding within Christianity that I would say I've held on to. But it's interesting because, you know, like my initial reaction was, oh, I've chucked everything, which to a degree is true. But I was talking with my counselor last week, and we were talking about like my recent experiences of anxiety and how that is related to me basically chucking everything, which is fine. I'm happy with that, you know, decision, that route that I've taken. But she was saying, you know, it makes sense to me that you have anxiety because the framework, the filtration system that you used to operate in your life, like being Christianity, is gone. And so you don't really have a way to process your experiences in the world now. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, that makes a ton of sense. So I've kind of formulated my own new framework with love being the ultimate. And then they're all L words, for just probably because I forget everything easily and it's easier to remember. So it's love, life, and liberation. And that would be for everyone. So anything I choose to be engaged with, whether it be just for my own personal benefit or how it's going to affect other people, I kind of use that framework of, is this promoting love? Is this promoting life for me or others? Or is this promoting liberation for myself or others? And if the answer is no, then, you know, that's a no-go for me. So that's kind of like my new, oh, like my life compass that informs the decisions that I make.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been helpful, so beautiful. And I'm still kind of, you know, still creating that framework and making more sense of it in more minuscule ways, you know, in the day-to-day things. But I also like I didn't love how confining that Christian framework was. So I also don't want, you know, my new framework to be just as intensely like restrictive, I guess is the right word. Yeah. So that's kind of what I've held on to that's positive. I'd love to hear love to hear what you've held on to.
Well, I do want to talk about that. I'm also, my mind right now is thinking about like some of the details or the aspects of love, life, and liberation being your guide or your gauge for is this something that I want to accept or embrace or support? And there's so many questions that come as a result of that. Like, what does liberation really mean to you? What does that look like? And how far do we support liberation, life, and love? You know, is there a point in which it's okay to say no, no to those any of those things? There's a lot of questions about, and that I know that's probably what you meant when you said I'm still working out the details, but
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be an ongoing thing. And maybe those three L words, apart from love, you know, maybe they'll shift a little bit in their importance or, you know, their ranking of how important is that to me at this certain point in my juncture or whatever. But yeah, absolutely, there's room to say no. Like I would say no for myself to anything that feels like it's stifling to me. So that would be like in response to liberation, right? Like if somebody's asking me to do something that is not authentically me, whether it be like to meet their personal expectations or, you know, like you need to take your nose rings out because great grandma, whatever, won't approve, like that's a hard no, you know, like that type of thing. Like I'm not going to be inauthentic to who I am and how I express myself. So yeah, like I leave space for that. And honestly, I'm just kind of learning moment by moment and also learning to listen to my own intuition, which I was always told was evil and you can't trust it. And so that's kind of part of this reframeworking process for me is honoring my intuition and kind of letting that guide me in that filtration system of love, life, and liberation.
That's beautiful. The biggest transition for me has been out of Christianity. We're talking about what we held on to. And so really what this has done, this question brought up inside of me was when I accepted the flaws within Christianity, there were aspects of those flaws that frustrated me. Or caused me to look back at some situations and see some abuse, or just in general, I realized so heavily influenced my choices in a way that I wish I had was not, I wish I had more freedom, you know? But accepting the flaws was a transition point for me. I didn't stay there. I wanted to move past it and grow past it enough to not hold bitterness or be a victim. And for me, that was possible, maybe mostly because what I experienced wasn't as traumatic, I know, as what some people have experienced. But in moving past those flaws, I was able to see the value in Christianity in general. There were a lot of really positive things that I experienced within my faith in that religion that shaped me to be who I am today in ways that I'm really grateful for. So I tended initially when I left Christianity to really try to figure out what those values were within Christianity that I loved so much. And what did I wanted to continue carry on into life, my new life outside of it. And so I saw Christianity more so as a stepping stone or almost like I was graduating high school.
Yeah, I love that.
and not like it has served a purpose, you know, like it for me, it, I personally choose to perceive it as I needed it to in order to get where I am now. Right.
Absolutely.
And so initially, one of the things I did was I put a notebook on the dining room table for everybody in the family to write their thoughts every day, like anything that any questions or any things within our life that they wanted to hold on to. So that it didn't feel like it was just like, oh, there it goes. We're done with it. You know,
right.
It was like, and so bye bud. See you later. My son's going to work. So that was actually probably helpful for me more so than it was anybody else, because I was able to, I guess, just give credit to the parts that I had learned that still were serving a purpose in me and still had great value to me. And some of those things were just, you know, really basic and simple stuff that, I mean, obviously I still put my hope in ideals that, like belief in the unknown. I still wanted to hold on to the mystical aspects of Christianity. And I still believe in the power of words and the power of touch, power of forgiveness, the power of grace, the power of love, supporting innocent, the innocent and widows and orphans. Like, these are all beautiful, just courageous and just gorgeous things that are in probably every religion and, universal, I think, in my personal opinion. So I began to hold on to them almost like a teddy bear, you know, like,
yes.
Okay, I still have these things, you know, like,
right.
I can let go of these other things, but I still have these. And it was comforting to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so interesting to hear you say that. Because as you were talking, it reminded me that another thing that I've held onto that would probably comfort a lot of my Christian friends is the life of Jesus, the way he showed us how to engage with people. And you touched on those things of, like, you know, supporting the marginalized, showing compassion, forgiving. And he is the prime example of how I want to live my life. So, like, I haven't chucked Jesus, but I definitely don't engage with him in the same way that Christians do.
Right.
Thanks for that reminder. Cause I was thinking, oh gosh, maybe I am just love, life, and liberation. But then you mentioning that, I was like, no, that's right. Like, Jesus is the man. Like, I love his example. We can all do better. Everyone across the world can do better to live like he did.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's funny because I do think that Jesus in general is whoever you want him to be.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. He's everybody's cherry picking. Everybody, every single person on this planet, no matter what their religion is or their non-religion is, they are picking and choosing what they want to believe.
Yes.
And that applies to Jesus. You can have a red letter Bible and think you know exactly what he said, but in the end, most people, if not everyone, is not understanding who the real Jesus really was.
Right.
And what he meant by the things that he said.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was written 2,000 years ago by people in a certain context and culture and society that we can't relate to today. Like, we don't have any clue what that was like living life, you know, in their shoes or in their sandals.
Right.
Yeah. So it is interesting how far I feel like modern Christianity has strayed from what the actual life and teachings of Christ were. But yeah, you're right. Everybody cherry picks, everybody decides for themselves what makes the most sense. And that's actually been a freeing part of my journey. That's why I'm where I'm at today, because I finally gave myself permission to acknowledge that we're all cherry picking. And I was telling my friend who was visiting the other day, she was asking where I was at. And I said, I'm basically creating an a la carte tray of beliefs and philosophies that work for me. And I'm loving it because I can eat the pudding and the French fries and I can have everything, like everything that serves me and that I enjoy that brings me life, you know? It's been beautiful.
It's like life is a buffet rather than a dim sum.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. That's a beautiful analogy.
It's funny because we're asking ourselves what aspects of Christianity we've held on to, but honestly, that same question is can be applied to everyone, every single Christian as well. Like, what aspects of Christianity do you hold on to?
Right.
Because,
What's most important for you in your Christian faith? Yeah.
Because I was in the Hebrew Roots movement for a while. We went down that path or expression of Christianity for a while, and it was fun, and we learned a lot, and it was really beautiful at times. And I'm glad that we did it. But even within that, like one time we went to this festival where we gathered with other people that were on a similar journey of diving into the roots of Christianity and trying to understand Hebrew and its traditions and basically the ways of the Old Testament, really, the ways of the Torah and why they were there and how it influenced Jesus and all these things. And I kid you not, Carrie Jo, thousands of people together camping for a week. And there was not one single person that I talked to. Like you, I thought going into the Hebrew roots of things would help clarify some aspects of Christianity that I felt like I was missing. And actually, what it did, it just diversified even more. And I found that New Testament believers, in general, just kind of fall into a niche of belief systems that have. That are easy, and they just kind of keep staying in that niche. That it's like this. It's almost like like a river when it's carved out a place, a groove. It just keeps going deeper and deeper. And I just feel like there's this cognitive dissonance within Christianity that keeps most people just following. And so, because Ricky and I had never really been good followers. I bring him up a lot because, so much of our Christianity is intertwined, but I had never been a follower. And so moving into Hebrew roots seemed logical to me because I wanted more answers. And then when I got there, I realized, oh, there are no answers. Everyone is speculating. Everyone is, And to such a degree that it was so vast. Like it wasn't just like, oh, you believe in abortion up to 6 weeks and I believe in abortion not at all, or I don't believe in abortion at all, right? It wasn't like that. It was like, no, like you are disobeying God if you get a vasectomy, or no, you are disobeying God if you don't have the freedom to get a vasectomy. Like huge life altering decisions, like completely different views about so many things. And I realized at that point, actually, that was when one of the stepping stones for me in realizing that we're all just holding on to whatever we want to hold on to. And that actually was freeing in a lot of ways to see that even within the religious context. That was beautiful in to see within the Hebrew Roots movement that everybody was accepting each other in their freedom to hold on to what they wanted to hold on to. Now, there are some people within that, of course, that didn't, but for the most part, it was like, oh, wait, we're all swimming in this big ocean. We were in this pool, but now we're all in this ocean together, and trying to figure it out. And so there was a lot more acceptance and encouragement and, just acceptance in general, like, because everybody was like realizing this is way more confusing than most Christians realize it is.
Right, because once you start asking the questions, that's when you realize that, oh, there is cognitive dissonance here. Like I've been just making excuses for this belief not making sense with this other belief, or this scripture not lining up with this scripture.
Right.
We are taught, we're taught to explain that away.
Yeah.
It's a total if this, then that kind of system that we're caught in. And like you said, you'd get further entrenched. Like the more times you have to defend that, whether to yourself or to other people, you just get deeper entrenched into that way of seeing it. Right. And yeah, the freedom comes when you give yourself permission to actually start asking questions and searching for ways to make sense of it, or to just be able to say, it doesn't make any sense, you know? Yeah. And then decide what's going to work for you to hang on to and what you need to jettison on the journey. Which, did you have anything else you wanted to say about that before I go on to something else?
No, go ahead, actually.
Okay, I was going to say that actually takes me to, like, when I mentioned jettisoning these certain beliefs or systems or fill in the blank parts of Christianity, the few things that have remained consistent for me that I would say are byproducts of my Christianity are my husband and my kids. Mm-hmm. I married Stephen because we were both like on fire, sold out for Jesus in college. And that's where we met. And that was the foundation of our friendship and relationship moving forward. And so I am forever, forever eternally grateful for that. And, you know, he's gone through his own deconstruction journey, which is, like we've talked about that, it's just amazing that we've been able to maintain in step with each other, you know, to varying degrees. Like I believe way different things than he does in certain areas, but, you know, that's not a deal breaker for us. Like we fell in love with each other as the person, and the beliefs are just, you know, an ever evolving part of the package. Mm-hmm. And that's been a really awesome aspect of that, of our relationship to realize, you know, that it kind of started based on our shared beliefs. And now it has very little to do with that. And it just, we found a greater depth in our relationship by not putting so much emphasis on having shared beliefs. And that's been such a gift. Mm-hmm. But then of course my kids, you know, like they are a byproduct of my faith journey because of marrying Stephen and having kids with him. And they are a huge source of joy for me. And I mean, such a gift. We just feel like the luckiest people on earth, you know, that we have the three boys that we do, and they are just fantastic humans. And, so I will say, like, it is a choice. Like I or Stephen could have decided, you know what, this is a deal breaker. We're walking away. We no longer have that marriage, you know, then things get messy with the kids, but that has not been a part of our choice and our trajectory. And so that is also something that we've held on to from our Christian roots. And like you said earlier, you mentioned like our Christian journeys early on, that all of that plays into who we are now, where we are, and what we believe. And I love who I am right now, you know, like I'm loving each part of the journey and every step that I'm taking to finding like my true, legitimate, authentic self of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like it's easy to look back on certain beliefs that I had or experiences I had and be angry about them or bitter or whatever various emotions, you know, we can have to difficult, parts of our history. But it's also flavored a little bit with the concept that I have my family because of that whole experience. I am who I am because of that. And that's beautiful. So yeah, that's another aspect, I guess, of my Christian journey that I'm thrilled to still have in my world.
It's so funny. When you said that, I was like, duh.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it, but like who I am, my husband and my kids, it's like are a direct result of my faith for sure. In Christianity, my time there. And yeah, it never occurred to me to think of it like that.
Well, okay. This, this has come from probably hours of me trying to glean something positive from my Christian experience. So, you know, like I was really struggling. I'm like, this, nope, that sucked. This, no, I hated that. And like, I just kept going through and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like I never would have married Stephen.
Yeah.
You know, like if we didn't have those shared beliefs, that relationship never would have taken place. It took a while. Not that I'm, you know, not thankful for them on any given day, but as a direct result of Christianity, that was one thing that I can be like, yes, like I'm so thankful for that. I would not give that up for the world.
I second that. You and I are some of the, I think, rare gems that actually came out on the other side with like probably deeper connections with our family, or at least our husbands and children.
Absolutely. I've heard so many stories that have gone a different route, and I don't take that lightly or for granted. I'm so thankful that, you know, our relationship apparently was strong enough to weather all of the shifting and things that have changed within our hearts and minds. And yeah, and like you said, stronger for it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I had a short list of specifics. I didn't want to switch over if you had more that you wanted to share.
No, I'm good. I have some other things, but they're a different category. So
okay.
You go on with the stuff.
Okay. I still take time to meditate on wisdom. I did that all throughout my Christianity and I still do it. And wisdom comes from different, you know, all various directions and sources, but I still take time. My plan and my goal, and because it's so beneficial to me, is to do that daily. And so instead of a quote unquote devotional, you know, it's still a devotional in my own way, you know.
Right.
I still read books and meditate on thoughts and ideas within them. That practice of taking time to write, read, and think in general is still there. I still sing worship songs. Sometimes a lot of times it's so funny. I really enjoy changing the words.
Oh, I love that.
So like, cause songs come to mind all the time. Like worship was really, it was for me a really spiritual experience. I was usually the one in the room that was the most free.
Yeah.
And, so I found a great deal of joy and connection there that I miss. And I know that what I was experiencing was real. But it was, you know, it was the framework for it has changed. And so I still sing songs. But sometimes I'll sing the words that I know, but in my mind, my intention is different, you know?
Okay. That's interesting. I love that.
But I'll sometimes even write out the words for a song and then just change it to fit where I am now. And it's usually not that different. Most songs, not all songs, of course, but a lot right. of songs, as maybe it's just the songs that I'm thinking of. But they're not that different. And I really enjoy that process. Sometimes I'll just be driving down the road and a song will come to mind and I'll just start singing, but then I'll come to a part that I don't really want to say.
Right. Or you just totally don't believe anymore.
Right. And I'm like, how can I reword this?
That's so awesome.
And then I'll just like throw in some phrase and then keep singing, you know?
Nice. I love that. There's actually this TikToker who does something very similar. They take like old church hymns or like Amazing Grace, for instance, and they change the words entirely because they're totally deconstructed and they've made it make sense to them in their current reality. And it's so beautiful. It's actually really healing to like hear that tune. but to not like to remove any harmful doctrine or theology from it. It's really beautiful. So yeah, that is an awesome practice.
That might give me a reason to get on TikTok. I hadn't seen anybody else do it. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, they're also on Instagram. They just post it both places. So I'll try to find them and share that information.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I still pray. I mean, I don't pray as much as I used to and in the same way, but in a way, prayer and meditation are very almost identical to me.
Same for me.
Yeah. I create space for silence. Sometimes I talk to myself or just I put words out into the universe.
Yeah.
And then taking time to listen, just creating that space for stillness is still really important to me. Yeah. And then I also make time to learn from people that are wiser than me still. That I still try to practice humility and realize that I still have a lot to learn. And I, when I see someone that I respect, that I think has, you know, gone down a path before me that I could benefit from what they've learned. I love continuing to, in a way, submit myself to whatever it is that they've learned and, receive and learn with them.
Yeah. That's a beautiful practice.
Yeah. So along with the worship songs, sometimes I will also change scripture.
Oh, do tell. Can we have like a very specific example of this?
Yes, I brought one today.
I'm loving this.
It's really simple because there's so many scriptures that are actually just so gorgeous and beautiful and life-giving. But there's one in particular. I memorized James 1, 2 through 4 when I was in church camp. I don't know how old I was, like pre-high school for sure. I was junior high, I think. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That scripture still goes through my mind from time to time. I can quote it like the back of my hand, you know, and it's that the only part that I change is that part where it says the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I just change it to the testing of your character produces perseverance. It's so simple, but
right.
To me personally, I still think not all trials we can find joy in.
Right.
But in general, life is trials. Life is hard. And we have to actually find joy in the challenges. Otherwise, we're just beaten. Life just beats us, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's just one example, but I love doing
that. That's awesome.
Whenever a scripture comes to mind or, I see a scripture somewhere else, you know, like anywhere, like, you know, you go to in some stores and they'll have like, I don't know,
right.
Just whatever. And I love just looking at it and going, how can I change that to fit where I am? It's actually,
I love that because I feel very triggered both by worship music and by scripture, no matter what the context. Very triggered. So that is a really cool approach to it. I'm going to try that. I love that. I never even thought about changing scripture to make it make sense for me where I'm at. But I mean, I'm like you, like I memorized so much stuff. I could have had a verse for anything. You know, I could take any verse out of context and make it make sense. You know, I had the evangelical gift of doing that. Which is like a little bit funny because
It
I
is.
kind of was misusing scripture. I was misusing scripture in that way.
Sure.
So it's interesting to think about, and I'm air quoting, misusing scripture by making it fit my current context. But that is actually literally what I was doing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't realize that.
Sure.
So yeah, to rephrase and reword things. Thanks for that idea. I think that could be useful for a lot of people, especially those of us who feel very triggered by those things. It's kind of like removing any power
mm-hmm.
that trigger has over you and saying, no, I'm reclaiming this. This is what it's going to be for me.
Yeah. I think
that's very empowering.
We sell ourselves short when we think otherwise. I think like, it's like, oh wow, this is so much bigger. Like what if it's not just like even that scripture, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And it says, does say brothers and sisters, but and the version that I say.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think the version I learned was just brothers, but anyway.
Yeah. Same for me. I was like saying it in my head with you. I was like, oh yes, I know these verses.
Yeah. And, but the trial for you and for a lot of Christians and sometimes me even is that, or not even, but just me as well. When I see some things that trigger me, I have the power within me to take that trial and turn it into something different.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And it prevents us from staying in that wounded, bitter place, you know?
Right.
It not just prevents us, it helps us grow beyond it. And
right, and nobody wants to stay in a wounded, bitter space. I mean, nobody enjoys that. It's not fun.
Right.
It's just not fun. Like mm-hmm. but yeah, like having those tools to help us empower ourselves to move beyond it, that's so important. And that's a really great one.
Yeah. That's pretty much the best examples I have. So like, that's all I wrote down as far as my list of things that I held on to, which it's funny because when I look at it, I'm like, wow, my life doesn't look drastically different. But
that's interesting to hear you say that. But what I'd like to hear you reflect on how you experience life and how different that is from within Christianity.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just that honestly, that takes me into the next thing. What inspires you now? Like, I feel like that really does take us on a new path because, yeah, how I experience it now is, like you said earlier, a lot more freedom,
mm-hmm.
and a lot more unconditional love, acceptance, and then. I think that I love your love, life, and liberation because I feel like that I connect at this universal, you know?
Yes.
And I feel like it's a really good reminder for me too, that it's been my gauge as well. Like, okay, does this come from a place of love within me? You know, what
right.
I'm doing right now, that's kind of like been a gauge. Is this life producing? Am I supporting life in this decision? And when I say
right.
life, like what's good, noble, true, you know, that scripture.
Right. No, exactly.
That's one scripture I really have held on to as well is consider or see, what is it? I don't even know if I can remember it right now off cuff. But
that is like, think about these
yes,
things.
Meditate on what is good, noble, and true. Right.
Yeah.
And that's life-giving, whatever is good, noble, and true.
Yeah.
And then the liberation part, like, probably even more so than liberation would be acceptance. I feel like within mm-hmm. Christianity, I was working against so many things that seemed natural. And I was trying to sometimes fit, not all the time, but sometimes I was trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. And so accepting that the square peg doesn't need to be put anywhere. It's just a square peg.
Right. Right. It doesn't have to be crammed into anything.
Right, exactly. That acceptance has been beautiful. That's probably one of the biggest freedoms that I've gotten outside of Christianity is learning to accept. So when you say liberation, acceptance and liberation to me go hand in hand.
Yeah, I agree. They're of the same flavor.
Yeah. Yep. Man, this has been fun.
That's awesome. I have one quick addition to the conversation.
Sure.
And this is kind of tongue in cheek a little bit, but also not inaccurate. So other things that I have held on to, not necessarily by choice, but maybe more like they're clinging to me. A more accurate picture would be at certain times feeling shame about things that I was told were wrong that I no longer believe.
Mm.
But it has a way to follow you, you know, until you can create those new neural pathways.
Right.
That is something that I continue to, not by choice, engage with, but kind of I'm confronted with.
That's important.
So it may be the phrasing of what I've held on to is not accurate, but what has held on to me.
Right.
So I'm working through that. And also the misuse, like I mentioned earlier, the misuse of scripture. That's why I have not cracked my Bible other than a while ago to basically use scripture against somebody who's using scripture against me. I was like, okay, I'll play your scripture ping pong once, but you know, then I'm done. But apart from that, like to just kind of defend a new stance that I had on hell not being a place.
Mm-hmm.
I've not read the Bible, because I do find it so triggering. So I would say that I am, aware of the way that I have misused scripture in my Christian journey. And so like, that's another shame thing that I'm trying to let go of and try, you know, like not be hard on myself because I didn't know any differently and I was doing the absolute best I knew how to do at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, that has been a huge, huge component of me growing in self-love and also trying, like I said, you know, sitting not for consecutive hours, but minutes and minutes and minutes all added together, finding things that I actually did glean in a positive way from my Christianity. Mm-hmm. That's how I got to my family. Cause I struggled so much with finding actual fruitful, beneficial experiences. Now knowing what I know, looking back at, you know, you see it through a different lens. And, so like, those are things that are following me that I'm still kind of working through, but it's all part of the journey.
Yeah.
Journey to freedom, releasing all that stuff.
Man, that's a really good question. What has held on to me from my religion? What has held on to me? That's such a good question and not one that I really have thought of much. And I'm going to meditate on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's sobering for me. It's a sobering activity because most of what I find holding on to me is not positive in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But not to say that it's not valuable or useful. It is, of course, useful to sort through any shame you're feeling and ask yourself why and to debunk that, you know, to create that new space for the freedom and the joy and the love that you're experiencing. It's also an important practice. So,
yeah. Well, love it. Thanks for challenging me in that way.
Oh yeah, my pleasure. I've got all kinds of shame stories I can share.
Awesome. Well, Carrie Jo, I think we're going to wrap up and say goodbye to our listeners and until another time. And thank you for just processing with me. It's really been helpful. And man, I just really encourage others out there to find somebody that you can talk with, find somebody that will listen and be gracious and understanding and empathize, you know, with the process that you're going through. It's hard to find good listeners out there. And I think that's one of the reasons why people enjoy listening to podcasts so much because they hunger for quality conversation. So if this inspires you to desire quality conversation, I hope for all of our listeners that they would find someone, one person to just talk with and discuss life, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, girl. Until next time.
Thanks, Anna. Yes. Sounds good.
We love you all. And please feel free to reach out to us. I'm not even really sure how we're going to make that happen yet. But when we start posting these podcasts, we're going to make it happen. And we're going to start interacting with some of you. And hopefully that will scratch some of your itches to connect with like-minded people. So,
yes. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah. All right, Carrie Jo. Talk to you later.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Anna. Bye.
Well, friends, that wraps up this heretical episode. Thanks for listening, and be sure to rate and review our podcast and share with anyone who would be encouraged. See you next time.